Well, good evening. It's certainly good to have each of you here tonight to share with us in this Thanksgiving devotional. The theme tonight for our Thanksgiving devotional is built around our blessings in Jesus Christ. Jonathan will be reading the scripture, sharing from the scripture. Herb will be leading the singing for us, and then we will have three different prayers interjected in the service. As Jonathan reads the scripture, don't pull out your pew Bibles or take your Bible and flip to those scriptures. Just sit and listen. That's the way the early church did it. They didn't have each of them have a copy of the scripture. Just sit and listen to the scripture being read, and that will give you a different perspective as you hear the scripture read tonight. Take out your hymn books. They're right in front of you. Turn to page 65. We're going to do the responsive reading. I'll start and you answer. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this: those he redeemed from the hand of his foe.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever.
To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever.
Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever.
Who spreads out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever.
Who made the great lights, his love endures forever.
The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. To the one who remembered us in our low estate, his love endures forever.
And freed us from our enemies, his love endures forever.
And who gives food to every creature, his love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of heaven, his love endures forever.
About the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ, perhaps the premier passage that speaks to this great truth is found in Ephesians chapter 1. In this reading tonight, we're going to see how that all of the blessings that we have in heavenly places, all spiritual blessings, are found in Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. Of all of the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus, there is perhaps none greater than the fact that we have been saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, centers down on this tremendous spiritual blessing. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Let's pray together. O God, our Father, we thank You for Your grace extended to us through the gift of Jesus, Your Son. Because we know how badly we needed that gift. We know that we were enemies of the cross. We know that we were enemies of Yours through our sin. We know, just as You know, everything about us. And that's the truth about Your love. Even though You knew everything and know our thoughts and know our actions, when no one else does, and we feel that we're unworthy, You counted us worthy of Your love, and Your love extended to us was in the gift of grace. Father, we know that Your grace, with Your grace, we are rich, and without it, we are beggars, destitute, and without hope, and lost eternally. But Your grace has always existed. Before the creation, You planned to give grace to us. Your creation has always spoken about You and told us about You. And so You wanted us to know You. Your word was given to us that it might tell us about you. And even though we knew about it and we knew your word, we know that at one time, when every person was going their own way and doing their own thing, and every man was doing what was right in his own eyes, it made you sorrowful that you had created man. And yet you saw Noah, and you saved Noah and his family because of his righteousness. Your word tells us about you. Your son allowed us to see you and witness you. And we read about him in the Gospels. And we have received grace upon grace. And we know that without your grace, nothing else matters. But with your grace, it is the only thing that matters. Without your grace, our best efforts, our precious gifts, and our righteous acts are as filthy rags. But with your grace, the lowest of the low who put on Christ receive your gift of grace, and the accusations of Satan fall to the ground and are silent. Your grace is all that matters. Your grace, O God, given to us through the cleansing power of the blood of Christ, is magnified and only truly understood in the light of your justice and mercy. You, O Lord, have given your Son a name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the true expression of your grace. Grace. It has been called amazing. Amazing grace. Boundless grace. Wonderful grace. Rich grace, all-sufficient grace, marvelous grace, matchless grace, and infinite grace. Without it, we would be nothing. And so we praise you for your precious gift of grace. Help us to tell our friends and family about your grace and to give grace to all. For grace is just a word until it is given. Thank you for your amazing grace given to us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Things dramatically changed for all of us because of God's grace. When grace came, no longer were we bound under the custody of the law, but instead we have been invited into God's family as His children. Galatians 3:23 through 29 reads this way. Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
this hymn.
Because of our works, the works of our own sinful natures, we all stand condemned before a just God. But because of the blessing that comes through Christ, those that are in Christ Jesus are freed from condemnation. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have set their minds on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have set their mind on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It doesn't submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they don't belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the Spirit who lives in you. Romans 8, 1 through 11. We've not just been forgiven by God's grace. It's not just that we are not condemned. But much more than that, God has a plan for each of us to turn us into something completely new. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21.
In awe, Father, we come to Your throne again. We know that You're God Almighty, that Jesus Christ is Your Son, and we know that Your power is limitless. We know, Father, that You created these universes, that You hung the stars in order, that You commanded the boundaries for the ocean and they can go beyond them. That there is no limit to Your power whatever. And yet, Father, we also know that You made man from the dust of the earth And it's beyond our imagination why, but you saw fit to put us above all your creation, to breathe the breath of life in us, and to give us a soul, and to adopt us as children of yours. Oh God, it's beyond our comprehension that we should be children of the Almighty God. But we praise you and thank you for your unspeakable love. Father, it's our desire to serve you, to commit our life to doing your will. We know, Father, that we can't possibly earn any of the great blessings that you bestowed on us in Christ Jesus. But at least let us live such lives that it'll express our appreciation to you for all that you've done for us and continue to do. Father, we're on the pathway to lead from this short, brief life here on earth to eternity with you. We're a large group of your people. Some of us, Father, are on that pathway with young children that we're training to follow you and to do your will. And I ask your blessings upon them, that the generation of your children that follow us might be greater, bring more glory to you than we've been able to do. Father, some are in the very prime of life, at the time when they can do the very most and be the most active in your kingdom. And we pray that we'll each one take the opportunity to do everything that we can possibly do to glorify you and to justify your sacrifice and your confidence in us. Father, there are others of us that you've given long life to, that you've worn out in your service. And we're in the sunset of that pathway, near the banks of Jordan that must be crossed to reach that promised land. And Father, as the final rays of the sun sets, and it becomes our time to take that step to cross that river of death, may we have walked so close to you that we can hear our Savior say, "Don't be afraid. It is I." And then let us experience that glorious resurrection on that other side, and come before your great throne, and recognizing that you are the Almighty God, that you are the creator of everything. But we stand before you as Abba, Father. Take us into your arms and let us hear you say, "Welcome home, my child, to the joys that are in the Lord." Oh God, we can't comprehend what you've done for us. Father, we recognize your greatness. We can't see the dawning of a new day. We can't visualize anything that we don't see your greatness and recognize that it's an almighty God that makes these things happen. But don't let us lose sight, Father, as children of yours, that you look down on each one of us individually as if we were your only creation. And let us conduct our lives in such a way, realizing always, Father, that your eye is on us and that you expect us to behave like children of the Almighty God. And we humbly beg you, Father, to help us that we might be a glory to your holy name. Father, help us to recognize that you are in each one of us, that you dwell with us, that you're not just in the mountains and the ocean and the sun and the great things we see, but as your children, you dwell in us. Help us to live in such a way, Father, that we present a place that you would be really proud to dwell, that we would be a satisfactory dwelling place for your Spirit. Now, Father, forgive us of our sins. Walk close by us down life's pathway. Wear us out in your service. And then let us come home to spend eternity with you. For we ask it in the name of the precious name of Jesus the Christ, who died the horrible death on Calvary, that we might enjoy this relationship with you. And in his beautiful and wonderful name, we praise you, we love you, we adore you, we worship you, we thank you, our loving Father. Amen.
The day is approaching when we will see him face to face. The day is coming when those that are in Christ Jesus will come to know the Father and see him in his brightness and in his beauty. But until then, we have been issued a challenge that God issues to each one of us to persevere in our faith. And as we live out the blessings that God gives us in this life, he tells us, you can have confidence and assurance before me because of my Son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10:19 through 25. We were created to enjoy a relationship of intimacy and closeness with our Creator. When he originally took from the dust of this earth and breathed into mankind the breath of life, we were created to enjoy him. But when sin entered the world, that was taken away. But God has always had a plan to be faithful to his intention, to restore us and reconcile us by the gift of His grace in Christ Jesus, that we could have our consciences cleared, no longer be condemned, and that Eden would be restored. For those that are in Christ, perhaps the greatest of all blessings, in fact, the culmination of all the cumulative blessings in Christ Jesus, will fully be known when we see Him face to face and reign with Him forever. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in that city, and His servants will serve Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5. That paradise restored, that Eden renewed, that place where we will see the face of God is what we all long for. And that is only possible because of Jesus Christ and the blessings that He has provided for us. Tonight, as we have sung about those blessings, as we've heard God in His Word speak to us about the blessings in Jesus, as we've been moved together to take our collective hearts and join them in prayer to the Almighty God, tonight your heart might be moved, and you know that you need the encouragement that comes through God's people praying together for you. If we can do that for you tonight, as we sing this last song, we're going to stand to sing that song, and as we do, if you need to come forward and have some prayer, we encourage you to come to the front pew, and we'll pray together for you as we stand and as we sing.
We come to you with great hearts of thanks. We're so appreciative of your grace, of your goodness, of your character. Father, we ask as we are about to depart that you would make us kingdom people, that with everything that we do, whether it be deemed big or small, important or insignificant, that we think about your reign, about life eternal, about good versus evil, about Christ and everything. Let that be in our hearts and our minds. As was read for us just a little bit ago, Father, we ask that you would help us to live as victors, as overcomers, as people who not only have tremendous power and strength at their disposal because the Creator of the universe calls them son or daughter, but help us to live as people who have already received your eternal covenant. Help us to dream about heaven, but help us to live it now. Make us courageous. And let that courage bind up our broken hearts. Let that courage help us to push through pain and discomfort and injustice. Help that courage to build more love upon love and to speak love to people. Words of affection, words of encouragement, but most importantly, words of life. Help us to be courageous in telling people the source of our love, and that is Jesus Christ. Father, as we get ready to maybe gather with family in here in a day or two, maybe we're missing family that has gone on. Help us to always welcome you at our table. And welcome you in ways more than maybe the obligatory prayer and thanks for our food, which is important. But let us welcome you to the table at all times to not just eat with us, but to live with us, to cry with us, to laugh with us, to make you the center and the most welcomed guest in our lives and in our home. Help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.